For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. Hey guys, super quick commercial break. So many of you are starting to launch your own businesses because you have ideas and you have time during the quarantine to develop them and to build them. So this podcast is sponsored by Huawei Technologies, a development firm that helps non-technical founders and business owners develop technology solutions from websites to web applications, mobile apps, and so much more. Send them an email at hello@huaweitech.com or fill out their contact form on their website at huaweitech.com.
Today, guys, we have a super special guest, and I'm so excited, Bukola Shomade. Bukola is the inventor of the world's very first interactive computer science doll, Shami. She's been featured in News One, Black Enterprise, Afrotech, Face to Face Africa, and many other media outlets. Bukola is the founder of Innovate Technologies. They are the champion of computer science education in underserved communities, where they create innovative products for youth. Bukola is also the author of the book series, Shami the Computer Scientist. The series is about a young Black girl who's passionate about learning how to code. Bukola is also the founder of the nonprofit organization, CompSci Awareness in Black Communities, where they focus on teaching young Black youth the fundamentals of computer sciences. Bukola, we are so excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Ariana. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's so much about you that I've researched and, you know, I have some good questions for you, but I really want to start from the beginning. What has been your journey like through technology, starting from your earliest memory from when you were exposed to tech?
Yeah, so as early as, I guess for me, was high school. I'm originally from Nigeria, and so we migrated here in 95 when I started ninth grade. And I remember I took my first, it was actually a keyboarding class. And that's where I first learned how to type, and I was really fast. So we didn't have computers at that time. But I learned all about computer science from a graduating senior when I was in 10th grade. And I just asked them, you know, what are you majoring in? And they just said computer science. And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I like science, and computers are the way of the future. And that was really my own naive way of thinking, oh, this sounds like an intriguing major to pursue at the time. And there wasn't, and our search engine was a library back then. There wasn't any Google or anything like that. So I didn't do any more research on it. I just thought that computer science was the way to go at that point.
That's awesome. And so, you know, so you figure out that computer science is wanted to go. And then afterwards, what was the next step for you?
For me, how I actually knew what computer science was about was when I joined a bridge program at the University of Maryland College Park. So during the summer, they help incoming freshmen to transition into college. And that summer is when I first was exposed to C programming. And I was taken back. It was like a matrix effect. I was still like in awe. I was excited about it, and it was actually very challenging as well. But what I realized is when I got my program to work, when I created something from scratch, this gratification that I got from it, that I created something, that like I accomplished something. And that was really what kept me going. And that's how I kind of fell in love with it and just kept pushing through it.
That's amazing. And so, you know, we know that you're the founder of a nonprofit organization, CompSci Awareness in Black Communities. Tell us about, you know, CompSci ABC and what you guys are accomplishing with your team and what kind of milestones that you guys have accomplished recently.
So with my nonprofit CompSci ABC, even how that was birthed was from this incessant desire to give back to my community, because I was in a spot in my life where I just felt like I was just living day to day with no ambitions, no drive. I wasn't making an impact, and it bothered me. So I thought, you know what, I want to give back to my community. So what is the best way, a way that I would love and enjoy to do? And the first thing that actually came to mind was, oh, do you know what, I can create a scholarship program for young minority girls pursuing computer science in college. It doesn't matter how little the scholarship funds are, it can help them. Because I know back in college, I got scholarship for like just even $500 helped to cover my books. So that's where it started. But then I thought, do you know what? If I want to be able to increase the number of minorities in this field that actually excelling in this field, I need to go backwards and actually target the younger generation in high school, middle school, elementary school to actually expose them that early. You know, I got the idea, you know, I was exposed in high school and I still didn't know that much about it at the time. But in this day and age, as young as even kindergartners are being exposed to these kind of technologies. Yeah. So that's kind of how it was birthed, this nonprofit. And then I created my for-profit to help support my nonprofit. So my for-profit is Innovant Technologies. And that's pretty much the vehicle I use to do a lot of my R&D research and development, publishing a lot of my books, and also to help to finance the work at my nonprofit. So far with CompSci ABC, we have two programs. One called CS Cadets. So CS Cadets is targeted more so children from 7 to 11, so as soon as you can read, up to 11 years old. And we have held like a four-week program. It was an hour-long program I held at a library where just neighboring kids would just come through and we went through some computer science curriculums. And also the next program that we launched was CS Sparks. And CS Sparks is more so for teens and young adults. And we held 2-hour informational session where I invited experts in industry that have been in, you know, in the game for a long time, because computer science is more than just coding. There's right. So many aspects to it. So I wanted experts in the different areas to come through and talk about it, talk about career paths. And that's what we did. So that's what we've done so far. And we hope to build more on it.
That's amazing. And so let's kind of show, you know, there's so many things that you've accomplished with CompSci ABC. And, you know, if you could go back to, you know, the early days when you were starting the nonprofit, you know, what was that process like for you? You know, did you feel like you had access to, you know, the resources that you needed to launch this nonprofit organization, right? Because you're doing this because you were thinking about your community. You know, how do you help your community, you know, expose them to computer science more and more in depth? So, you know, what was that process like for you in the early days?
Oh, yes. In the early days, one, you do need a board. In order to incorporate a nonprofit, you do need to have board members. So I was blessed to know awesome individuals, 4 of them that were able to come on board for me. So that's a good, just having that support system. And 2, something I learned, or at least for those that want to start up a nonprofit, networking is key. And me, I'm an introvert, so it's been a challenging journey for me to step up more. But I think you're more successful when you go out there and actually network with other people. You get so many more opportunities when you talk with other people, and also even getting funds that also helps. So that's something I know I'm still learning to do, stepping out my comfort zone in any business, whether for profit or nonprofit. If you want to succeed, you have to step out of your comfort zone, be willing to take certain calculated risks to be able to break through to the next level. So if I had to go back to the early days, I think that's something I'll try to do better, is network more.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of coming out of your comfort zone, you know, we're going to talk about your book series. But you decided to have this, you know, idea of developing what is the world's first interactive computer science doll. If anything is stepping out of a comfort zone, that is it. what made you think, like, you know what, I'm going to turn like this book series right into an actual interactive doll? Like, did you have previous experience with in the industry? You know, what kind of, you know, how did you navigate that? Because that's a very big deal.
Oh, man, I mean, it's awesome that you said that. And honestly, the way I thought about that, because I am kind of passionate about this, you know, I'm like, what are the best ways I can communicate these concepts to the younger generation in the way that they will understand? Absolutely. And so I started brainstorming through different types of products I could produce. And that's how the story, okay, the idea of having a cartoon character, you know, embody this image. And because I know that representation matters, I want young kids to be able to see themselves. And I know young kids, I want it to be entertaining and educational, because that's how you're going to grab their attention. That's the only way you're going to grab kids' attention, if it's education, I mean, entertaining. So I thought the storybook idea was entertaining. And I also just thought about the doll idea as well. I'm like, this is something fun that they can play with. But, you know, it's, you know, and the entertainment factor is them playing with it. But of course, the educational factor would be with her speaking. So she can teach this Kamsai fundamentals or concepts in a fun way. And I'm a woman of God. So I just feel like the Lord gives me ideas. And to me, when I thought about it, I wasn't thinking, oh my God, this is a groundbreaking idea. I really wasn't thinking about all that. I was focused on my target audience and what I believe their needs are and how I could reach their needs, the best way to reach it. So that's really what I was focusing on. So I'm actually taken back and actually quite honored with the success and the recognition I've gotten for, you know, creating this prototype. You know, it wasn't what I was really expecting. I just was trying to reach the kids.
Yeah. And you definitely, I mean, I remember when I first, it's so funny. Like, I actually had a woman from a local university here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she sent me an article about you weeks before I reached out to you about coming on the show. And she was like, hey, have you heard of this woman who just developed this doll? And I was like, no freaking. And I told her. And then I saw Afrotech's article on you and I started reading up about you. I was like, oh, I have to get connected to this woman to figure out what she's doing. I need to know her story. So, you know, the community is, I mean, everyone is excited, you know, for you and, you know, what you're doing. And we're going to make sure that, you know, we continue to publicize your work and make sure you guys, you know, go to her website and, you know, truly, you know, support her books, you know, pre-order everything because you're doing some amazing work. Like, you know, the question is, Nicola, is what advice do you have for someone who is looking to, because this is, of course it comes easy to, not easy to you, right? It's not hard work, but what I'm saying is it, you know, you've done it, right? So it's kind of, sometimes when people are saying how amazing we are, we have to take a second back and be like, oh, wow, like I accomplished a lot, which you did. But, you know, what kind of advice do you have for someone who's looking to develop product in general? Like, what advice would you give yourself back when you first had this idea and you started with the prototype and your MVP? What advice do you have for some listeners out there who are looking to create their own products and especially within the toy industry? Because that's a hard industry to kind of enter.
Actually, glad you brought that up. Do you know what? I think first starting with purpose, I think always having a clear purpose on what you're created to do in this world. And just having that passion and drive will take you through. So I never for one second even thought, I've never been in the toy industry. I've never worked in a company that was in the toy industry ever before. But, you know, when I thought about how would these young kids, what is the best way for them to learn these concepts in a fun way? And the idea of a doll came up, I just believed in myself. There's just confidence I just have within myself that I can do it. Just do the research. I don't know. It never came into my mind that, oh, there's no way you can do this. You don't have any background in creating a doll. You've never done it before. Your parents have never done it. You don't know anyone has ever done it. It never came to mind. So when you have that fearless confidence, when you believe in what you're doing, you will find a way. It's just, that's just what I believe. When you truly believe in what you're doing, even if you've never done it before, you'll find a way. Because one, you're not meant to do everything by yourself. You can contract out people back in that have the gift, or like my illustrations are beautiful. I didn't draw them, you know? Someone that has the gift of drawing beautiful illustrations, I was able to get a hold of someone like that and they did it for me, you know? So this idea, you are really just a steward of this idea. But you may not necessarily be the one actually handcrafting it and putting it together. If you have those skill sets, awesome. But if you don't, go find people that can help you. That's like building your team, but they're like outsourced in a way. Building your team. I've consulted with business folks, another Black woman who is actually in the children's industry, and she creates products. And that's what you have to do. You have to go out there and see people that are actually doing or working in this industry that you're trying to break into. And consult with them. Be willing to actually pay their fee for consultation to learn from them things that they already know. They can impart some wisdom to you that can help you in your journey. So you're not there just floundering around trying to figure it out on your own. But when I created my prototype, I just did research on, you know, who can actually produce it, like different manufacturers. And I just went from there. I do have my own innate talents, of course. I do know how to put together I'm very creative in the sense that I'm a visual learner. So I'm able to visualize a lot of things. So I already created the design for my character. I already knew what my character looked like. So I knew what my doll needed to look like. I just needed to communicate it to the manufacturers. And I was pretty good at that too. I do have a project management certification. So I know how to manage the process in them developing the product, how to review, give them feedback on things I needed them to change. So that did come in very handy for me to kind of stay on top of them until they got it right, at least the prototype, to a point where I felt like, okay, this is decent enough to finally expose to the world, to introduce her to the world. So there are certain innate talents that you do have to rely on, but do not feel discouraged if your idea, you don't have previous experience. As long as you have that drive and you know the purpose of you creating this product that you're trying to create, that would push you to find the necessary resources you need to bring it to fruition. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Are you kidding? No, seriously, you dropped a lot of gems, you know, from confidence to really truly believing yourself and also building a team. Because I remember in the early days of when I started my own businesses, how I was always trying to do everything myself, and then I end up being exhausted and tired and doing stuff. But like you said, you have to trust in other people and pay them for their services, pay them for what, you know, what their expertise is, because you just can't do everything yourself. But there are a lot of us as entrepreneurs, right, and developers and innovators, you know, we'll try to do everything ourselves, but that can only last for so long. You need a team.
No, that's true. And you talked about Gentai, because I actually did get burnt out, because I was going hard for a while there, you know, just being honest and open right now. I was running my nonprofit, and then I'm running a for-profit at the same time. And, you know, I'm a mom, so taking care of my daughter and also working full-time. And I was juggling all this together. And I was really going hard. And there's some pros and cons. I believe the pros are, one, I'm here today talking to you because I did put in the effort I needed to produce what I did, what I have produced so far. Right. And of course, the con was I did get really burnt out and just wanted to take a step back and regroup. You know, my health was affected. You know, I remember when I launched my, I had a book launch back in 2018 when I launched the Shaman the Computer Scientist book. And during my launch, no one knew, but I had an ear infection throughout, you know. I'm like, a friend of mine was like, what adult gets ear infection? Only kids get an ear infection. But, you know, I was just ill. I don't want to say all the time, but my body was always fighting something because of stress and so many things. So there is the downside. But guess what? Because of my drive, because of my passion, because I really wanted to achieve my goals, I pushed through. And, you know, I'm a woman of God. So the power of prayer, I believe the Lord gave me strength to push through, you know, looking great, but on the inside, I'm not feeling so good, but I pushed through. So, and that's happened to multiple times. So it's give and take. I believe, you know, if you do want to be successful in life and achieve your goals, you do need to put in the work, point blank, period. Mm-hmm. You do need to put in the work. So I think there are seasons, there are different seasons, there are different seasons of rest. And there's a season of just working. I don't want to say season of stress, but season of putting, you might need to pull some all-nighters or late nights just to get something done. It's just the truth of the matter. But it's not something that should be consistent back to back forever. I just believe there are seasons, and you just need to understand those seasons, when it's time to pull back and rest and regroup, and when it's time to go hard and just achieve those dreams.
Oh yeah, that is so true. There are definitely different seasons, even in business, right? Like there's some months where it's going great and some where it's not, but you just, you know, like you said, like your why and your purpose just has to be greater, right? It has to anchors you literally to remind you during those tough times. So yeah, no, you're dropping a lot of gems. So now, you know, Bukola, let's go and let's talk about your book series, you know, Shami the Computer Scientist. What gave you the eye? I mean, obviously, right, you've been doing some, you have your tech background, right? You already saw ABC, you were doing that, and then you released Shami in 2018. So I'm assuming it looks like the inspiration maybe for that book definitely came from your nonprofit organization. What made you, you know, want to release Shami?
Like I said, you know, when I was brainstorming on ideas on how to reach this younger generation and communicate, you know, these fundamentals of computer science to them, because, you know, it's more than just learning techie stuff. I saw deeper into it, and because I believe learning computer science concepts can help you think logically, like improve your logical reasoning skills, so which will help you make better decisions in life. So it's not just about, you know, I want every child to be like a software developer or work somewhere in this tech industry, because that's not true. You know, some are born to, you know, be a doctor, you know, and all these other fields out there. But I believe that all children should be exposed to these concepts because they can learn from them and apply it into other areas of their lives. So, you know, it helps with logical reasoning skills. It helps with creativity, you know, problem solving skills. When you need to solve a problem, you start thinking creatively, thinking of creative solutions to solve that problem. So that's really the genesis of it. And when I came up with the character, I used to write poetry. So I guess writing was somewhere in my blood, even though I've never published a book before. I just love creating a story, I guess. I'm a very visual person. So I just thought of the idea, honestly. It wasn't really too much into it, but I just thought it was fun. I used to love watching a lot of cartoons when I was younger. So I just thought it was a fun way to do this and to really represent our community, let our community see someone that looks like them, which actually, there's actually a customer review on Amazon right now on my storybook. And there are actually a couple of them that really stand out the most. One of them said, you know, it was her mom, and she was like, my daughter has never been interested in IT before, but after reading this book, now all she talks about is being a computer specialist. And, you know, another one was a grandma that was like, her granddaughter read this book, and she loves her. She's smart and beautiful just like me. And that just hit the nail on the head on the whole purpose of creating this Shami, the computer scientist series, is to really make her relatable where young Black girls can see her and see themselves and see those possibilities. You know, they may have never thought that they could be interested in an IT field before, but maybe it was in there somewhere, you know, and now that spark has been lit within them, you know, and that's a calling. And, you know, I feel like all my products I'm creating, they have a mission. They're on a mission. They're on assignment to go achieve the purpose on which they were birthed. And when I see those reviews, it really encourages me that I did something good, you know, and it is achieving what it's supposed to achieve. So that's why I keep wanting to innovate. That's why my for-profit is called Innovate Technologies. Innovate is French for innovate. And it's to create innovative ways of, you know, reaching this target audience to make it fun, you know. So I hope to go into, of course, I want to build out the Shaman Computer Scientist series. I have more ideas on different storylines and different topics to hit, like cybersecurity or cyberbullying, gaming. So I have other ideas I would like the series to cover. And I eventually like to go into gaming, educational gaming, so yeah, you can play a game and learn at the same time, you know. You know how you get in a game, you have to beat the bad guy at the end or something like that. But, you know, part of those, you know, going to another level would be you answering a question, an educational question, you know, what is the definition of artificial intelligence? You know, something like that. So it's like, it's educational, but at the same time, fun. That's the whole goal, is to make it entertaining and educational at the same time. I think I'll really be able to capture their attention and then impart some knowledge and wisdom in them through that way. So I just keep thinking of innovative ways, you know, and as the Lord reveals it to me, and that's what I do. That's
amazing. No, I love it. I love that, you know, you're a woman of faith, and, you know, you talk about how God is blessing you with these ideas, and that even on top of that, though, is that not only are you listening to God, but you're like, okay, let me go execute, right? Like, you can't just you're not just up here hoping and wishing and just praying in your room. You're like, no, let me actually go make a plan, figure out specific, and let me execute. Because a lot of people, they sit on their visions and they sit on their ideas. And that's what my grandmother always says, you know, the graveyard is, you know, a multi-billion dollar business outside of it actually making money. But, you know, there are people who are going to the grave with, you know, all of these ideas and businesses that they could have started. And they just don't. So to see you,
and I had to really overcome that because I did suffer from that as well, and I know a lot of people do. And it's that fear of failure, fear of putting yourself out there for people to criticize, because they will, they sure enough will. But yeah. I just got to a point in my life where I was so sick and tired of not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was living a fruitless life and I was so tired of it. And I just wanted to live a better life. I didn't have fulfillment, and I just wanted to live a better life. And I felt like the only way to live a better life is to give back to other people, to help other people. So I just got to a point where I was like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
About the criticisms. I don't care if people laugh at me. Yeah. I just don't care. I believe in myself more than they do. I believe in my mission and purpose more than they do. And I'll be the first to laugh at myself if I make a mistake. I shouldn't be afraid to make a mistake. I had to come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to make a mistake and doing it in front of the world. Yeah. You know, just if they're laughing at you, laugh it off and move on. Like, absolutely. Focus on the things that you did do right. So you can't be afraid to make a mistake. If you are, you will never do anything. You can't be absolutely afraid of people criticizing you, because the ones that are actually criticizing you, they're not doing much either. And they just want to bring you down, or they're envious and jealous,
yeah,
you know, and that's their issue, not yours. And they're trying to put it on you. So you can't care that much about what other people are doing. But the good thing is, if you are doing the right things, there are the people that will be on your side. They might not even come from your own family. They could be strangers. I sometimes get, you know, DMs and or comments of people just being impacted and blessed. And that encourages me. I'm like, yes, I'm doing the right thing. And that pushes me forward. You know, because sometimes you may not hear it as much from your family, because your family, they've known you since you were a kid. Yes. They may take it for granted. They're not doing it in a malicious way, but they may take it for granted because you're their daughter, you're their sister, you know, they know you too well, right?
Yes.
But those that don't know you, when they now recognize you, it just hits different. You know, they have no bias towards you. They're just really looking at your work and appreciating it. And that's how you know you're on the right path. But also know that there are others that are going to come for you.
Yep.
And it's okay. You just have to know how to not give too much of your energy into the negativity, because then you might invite that darkness into your life and you're fighting wrong battles, you know?
Absolutely.
But I believe in just praying for those that are coming at you wrong. Maybe they misunderstood, or they're projecting what's in their life on you. And just understand that. Don't take it personal. Let it go. And again, if you make a mistake, like a legitimate mistake, it's okay. Own it. Own it. Laugh about it. Move on. I think that's the best thing.
You know, you have been a ball of light. Seriously. Because I think there are a lot of us out there, you know, like I said, like, we have the ideas, we have the business. And a lot of people, they look to their immediate community to support them. But the reality is that your family might not buy your first product. They might not have even bought your book when you first launched it, right? But there are other people who will support you, and you just really have to believe in what you're doing. So I appreciate you for, you know, dropping those very encouraging gems to our listener, to our audience, because people are looking, you know, they're looking for support, but sometimes they're looking in the wrong areas. And if they just focus on what they're doing, like you always say, your mission and your purpose in life, eventually you will get to the goals that you need to make. And it's funny, because one of my favorite scriptures actually in the Bible is where it talks about, you know, no prophet is accepted in their own home. Right. And so it's funny because, you know, it's talking about the story of Jesus and how the people who looked like him, the Jews, weren't even messing with him. And there were other people who were, because he was going to other communities of people who didn't look like him, folks who weren't religious, and they were more accepting of him than his own people. And so I always remind myself of that when I'm discouraged, like, dang, why didn't this person who says they're my friend, why didn't they share this post? Or why aren't they purchasing for me, but they're purchasing from so-and-so? And I have to remind myself that sometimes people are uncomfortable with seeing you do so well, especially if y'all both started off in the same space. You know, I just try to stay focused on business. So I resonate with everything that you just said. Thank you for dropping those gems, Bukola. Seriously, you are just amazing. And
I do want to say that my family does support me, though. I just want to put it out there. If they're listening right now, I love you, fam. My family has supported me, but, you know, just seeing that extra support from strangers that don't know me is an extra boost.
It is. Yeah. And no, and I get that, the same thing for my business as well. And my family does support me too. I know my mom and my grandparents listen to my show, but for some people, their family don't support them.
And that's
business,
true.
Right. So you know, this may not be our story, but for somebody else, you know, it definitely is. And so now, you know, I want to kind of ask you, you know, how did you navigate being in the tech industry and navigating as, of course, you know, you have your own organizations and it's a bit different for folks who might be in a corporate setting. But how has your experience been as a woman, as a Black woman, as a Nigerian woman? Like, how have you navigated this space and what do you have for some advice for other women who are minorities and are in this industry, looking to be in this industry?
One thing I've always gone by, like, usually, I think I've said this to you before, I'm usually like the only one woman in the room and two, the only Black person in the room. And never for a second have I felt uncomfortable. And why is that? Not that people don't have their own biases, those in the room, but I just focus on the facts. It has to do with what you're focusing on. Don't focus on this person don't like me because I'm, you know, of color. You know, they might exhibit it in certain ways, but don't focus on that. Just stick to the facts. When I walk in a room, I don't necessarily just automatically gain the respect of the room because people have their own biases and their own expectations based on their environment that they grew up in. So whether it's their fault or not, it just comes with it. Whatever environment you're exposed to builds a certain bias within you towards certain groups. But what I have learned is that my work, what I produce, ends up speaking louder for me than I could ever speak for myself. So I end up gaining respect based off of my work versus just, oh, you are from this group, so you must be smart, you know? So that's what I found out. So if you're going to be in this industry, one, just do your work. Just focus on your work. Be pleasant as much as you can, and just stick to the facts. Don't play the game that other people play. If you believe that someone is hateful towards you, don't get drawn into that drama. Just focus on the facts because, after all, it's business. This is business at the end of the day. So just focus on that. And that has got me through. So like I said, never for one second have I actually felt uncomfortable in the room because I just believe in myself. Yeah. And if someone has a certain bias against me and they call me out the blue, unexpected, they're the ones that have an egg on the face because usually I come ready. It's like, oh, you thought I wasn't knowledgeable enough, or you thought I wasn't paying attention, or you thought I can't speak boldly in front of everyone, but you're wrong. And I, you know, I have this confidence. I do have this natural confidence in me, and I speak up. And then when I do, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, we didn't get her. But, you know, no, it's true. There's some that don't. You know, there's some that just have certain bias, but eventually I win them over is what I find out. Eventually I win them over. You know, I'm not perfect. No one is. So I do have certain areas that I've had to work on over time. Like if I come off too strong, it does come off a bit, you know, abrasive or what have you. And I found that some folks might feel intimidated by me. Not my intention, but because I am a very passionate individual. And when I'm trying to get something done, I'm very straightforward in the way I talk and I speak boldly. And then sometimes it turns people off where they feel intimidated or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I've had to learn on how to deliver. I've had to do better in the way I deliver my message. I've had to do better with being cognizant of, you know, my posture and the tone of my voice. Even though I'm passionate about something, I still need to maybe tone it down a bit, you know, so people are getting the message and are not turned off by the delivery. So that's something I will own up to, that I'm doing much better with that now than I did years ago.
And that could also be a personality thing, right? Like, you have some people who, you know, maybe at a higher energy level than the average person. And so when you go to certain rooms and you're in certain circumstances, you may have to come down a little bit. But I do know that obviously we're all aware that there is a bias of women, and especially Black women. If we come into a space and we're super confident, we can come off as, you know, what some people may think is like bitchy or rude.
Right.
If there's a white male who comes in just as passionate, right, there is, you know, oh, he's, you know, he's just excited about life and, you know, he's worth the $500,000 check that I'm about to write him. Right.
Right. So
we understand there is, you know, of course there's, I don't know if we want to talk code switching. That's a whole nother episode because I have a different like that, because I just believe in coming into any room 100% myself, regardless, like, period. Like, I don't care who it is. However, I do understand that in certain circumstances, you know, you do have to switch it up a little bit to make sure that the person who's in front of you gets and understands the vision regardless.
Exactly. And I think that's important for us to know. We have different sides of us. It's still us. But the way you deliver it, you have to understand your audience. You can't ignore that.
Absolutely.
If you ignore your audience and you deliver to them the way you would a different audience, you're going to miss your mark.
Absolutely.
It's just the fact. So you need to know how to tailor your message depending on who the audience is.
Yep, exactly. Yep, you hit the nail on the hammer. And so, Bukola, let's make a switch. So there's so much success, right, that you've made. And, you know, there are other goals that you have in the future for your nonprofits and for-profits and for all of your awesome products, you know, but we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but if you could go back, right, to the very beginning, before you even launch your nonprofit, before you launch Innovit Technologies, you know, before, you know, Shami, what advice would you give yourself?
Like I said, networking, getting out there, because, you know, don't work in a siloed bubble, thinking you're going to do everything by yourself. Getting out there, actually talking to people, mingling with people, you can probably accomplish what you need to accomplish much faster than having to do it by yourself and relearn everything. You know, just, I guess, going back to the person I was many years ago before I started everything, just encouraging myself to push through hard times, to love myself. I think self-love is very important. If you love yourself, you know how to love other people in a healthy way. And that shows through in my work, in the things that I'm doing. It's because I care for people and I care for myself. I think that's important. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And, you know, what can we expect from you in the near future?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So right now, and by the end of the month, hopefully by the end of the month of. Right now, we're recording in April, right? So by the end of this month, I hope to launch my online Shaman Computer Science workshop. So folks will be able to log online. It's going to have 5 modules. And the curriculum is based on my activity books. That's actually available on Amazon.com right now, which is a computer science activity book for boys and another one for girls. And the only difference is just the illustrations. It's the same content and the same exercises as it relates to the technical part. So the curriculum is based on those books, the 5 different modules, and they'll be able to download exercises, so activity sheets. So I'm about to launch that ASAP, which would be perfect for this COVID-19 crisis that we're in right now. Everyone's stuck at home. And I think it'll be perfect. It's perfect to launch that now. I recorded it last year in person in a classroom full of kids. So I think it's exciting and educational, and I think people will love it.
It's awesome. And could you share with our listeners the different website links that you have where people can go and support this once it launches?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So our Innovent Technologies website is www.innovent, that's INNOVANT-tech, that's TECH.com. So that's our main website that we're going to be launching this on. And of course, we're on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. We just recently updated our handle. It used to be Shami the Computer Scientist, but now on Instagram is @Innovent_tech. And then on Facebook is just Innovent Tech, just one word. So they can also follow us on those social media platforms. My nonprofit as well, we actually have a website for my nonprofit as well. So my nonprofit, that www.compsciabc, so compsciabc.org. So that is .org. And also our handles is the same thing, compsciabc, @compsciabc.
Perfect. So guys, we'll make sure that we post all of the social handles and the links for you guys to make sure that you are supporting Bukola and all of her efforts. And we'll make sure that we'll put direct links to the products, to the websites, the social media links, everything, so that we can make sure that everyone has it. But make sure you guys follow her and support all of her great work. And Bukola, for the last question, you know, what's one thing in your life, maybe even outside of your, you know, nonprofits and, you know, for-profit organizations that you're passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, I know right now I'm just kind of throwing myself to my work. The other thing I'm passionate about is just helping women, achieve their purpose. So those that are either looking to start a business or even to write their own book and publish their own book, you know, I'm passionate about helping them as well.
It's amazing. So can we see a workshop for that in the future?
I've been thinking about that. Like how
into a business, sis. Turn everything.
Yeah, it may be a course. Yeah, it may be a course. But yeah, when that time comes, it'll be right. I actually even came up with the idea of I called it a dreamer to doer program. I was like dreamer to doer to kind of help those that are trying to turn their dreams into actual, you know, products, like actually manifesting. So breaking through that fear, whether it's fear of failure, fear, some say fear of success. I still think it's all comes down to fear of failure, but just breaking that barrier, breaking that boundary. I would love to help women just overcome that.
Amazing. Well, Bukola, you have been an absolute blast. This episode truly has been amazing. It's been great to talk to you. You're full of so much light, so much energy, and I'm just so excited for your journey, everything that you have accomplished, but everything that's coming for you in the near future. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity to share my story. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Arianna.
Yeah, no problem. And you guys, don't forget to make sure you hit subscribe today on the podcast. Make sure you share this with all of your friends. We're so excited to have you guys. And again, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.